Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Kim Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global, worldwide. We have a very important subject we're going to talk about, and it's going to be controversial, and I don't know how we got here. I really don't. Once upon a time, women were up in arms, and they fought for a right to wear pants. They fought for a right to smoke a cigarette. They fought for a right to have equal rights, treated as equals. They fought together. How did we get here? I hear some people on the other side talk about welfare. I don't want my taxes to pay for these people on welfare. You complained about welfare, people on welfare, and your taxes are going to welfare. And then we got to abortion, okay? Get to abortion. And in the beginning, unless you can correct me, abortion was not good, but it was okay because they said if it was incest or rape, you kind of turned your head. The pro-life, you know, the pro-life people. Because rape and incest, you can't tolerate it, so you kind of give it a pass. But is that hypocritical? If you're against abortion, but you allow, I understand, it was rape and incest at one time. Now, that's in play. So many, what they're saying is that even if it was rape and incest, you still must carry the child. Some people say that, okay, abortion's okay if it endangers the mother's life. Now you're saying the child is more important than the mother. What are you thinking? I'm curious. What happened? What happened, there's very few things in life that we can choose. Who we date, who we marry, how our kids are brought up, what religion we choose. And people are taking that away. They're taking that away. They're taking away choice. They're taking away your choice of what you want to do with your body. Is that freedom? Is the government telling you how many days you have to figure out to have an abortion before you can't have it anymore? Is it political? Are we following a fringe area? I don't know how we got here. We're only on a show for a couple of hours. I'd like to hear your comments. 319-527-6099. That's the number that'll get you in the studio. 319-527-6099. You are worldwide and your voice will be heard. And a good thing about calling is that you can always keep this in your audio library. It will never go away, because once you come into the studio and you talk about how you feel, that's it. It will be there forever. Tell your kids, tell people you went to a radio show and express your feeling. You can even play it back to them how you feel. Be a hero. I'm giving you that form. 319-527-6099. That's the number to call in. And you can talk to me, the host, Brian Hammer Jackson. We're going to listen to a documentary about abortion because a lot of people are confused. Some people believe that conception is life. Some people believe 6 weeks, whatever. It's a gray area. Even people who are pro-life are kind of fuzzy about when it's safe to have an abortion or if you can or when life begins. It's not a monolithic kind of thing. So we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. If you can clear this up with me, 319-527-6099, I'll be happy to talk to you. George Takei. George Takei. You remember George Takei? Star Trek. Ooh, almost got the wrong one. Star Trek. I think it was Captain Sulu. He's openly gay. I guess you fired him up. You fired him up. You know. Let me see if I can hear his voice. Is this his voice?
Oh. Nope.
Yeah, I think that is. Let me see. George Takei.
Oh, my.
Yeah, there's George Takei. Well, he went to Twitter. He took to Twitter and he said, in his own words, those motherfuckers, they really did it. First they came for the black voters. Then they targeted the LGBTQ families. Now, women of America, they're overruling Roe versus Wade. We have to unite and strike back. We got to take to the streets. Overwhelm them at the ballot box. That's the ballot box. They have gone too damn far. Abortion or fight for life? Have we gone too far? My question is, does the government own your body? Does the government own your mind? I'm going to give you guys a couple of minutes to come into the studio. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court leak. We're going to hear about an abortion documentary that's very interesting. That may shed some light on something. So, we're going to take a little break, 319-527-6099. And if you come in during the documentary, I stop the documentary because I know your time is valuable. I know that you have something to say. We want to get you in it. And don't forget, all month, the Brian Hammer Jackson Show is donating to St. Jude's Hospital. If you don't know what that is, St. Jude's Hospital is for kids with cancer. Kids who don't have enough money for treatment, and they can go into this hospital free of charge. They rely on donations. I should start putting the thing. I'm sorry, I didn't put it in the marquee. But if you want to donate to St. Jude's Hospital, directly to St. Jude's Hospital, something I very care much about, come on in and I'll tell you how to do it. And we will talk about cancer and people fighting for cancer. But today, we're fighting for life. The number again is 319-527-6099. I'm going to play a little song, and we'll come back with our main story, abortion. The right to life is a fight against my right to choose. See if we can get through this fog together. We'll be right back.
Happy day,
oh, happy day,
when Jesus wore.
Happy day, baby. Happy day. Oh, happy day. Let's start it. Let's get going. Here we go. This from a Southern Evangelist website. Five reasons abortion is murder. The killing of an innocent human being. Let's just understand it. And we'll get to the documentary. For whatever reason I missed taking an ethics class in college, my speech class came with a list of topics we could not give a speech on. Abortion was at the top of the list. Every other class that might have touched on the subject avoided the issue as well. Regardless of my inadequate undergraduate education, abortion is still a very controversial issue today. With individual human lives at risk, the states could not be higher. There are no less than 10 methods of abortion that can legally be done in the states. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get to the reasons. Here they go. Number one reason, philosophy. Philosophy, what constitutes a human person. It's tradition a human person is composed of immaterial, rational soul that would separate us from non-rational animals. Okay? Blah, blah, blah. The person is not identical to the soul or the body, but both in union. Okay, this is going to get boring. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. Two, biology. Biology would constitute a human being. Okay. Three, reason from law. Should human laws have an essential connection to morality? Human law consists of certain ordinances. Okay, this is all boring. That was going to be more interesting than that. Number four, reason from the Bible. Does the Bible agree with the above truth about unborn? Regardless if you hold the Bible in the Word of God or just a book reflecting ancient cultural views, you should agree that it presents a constant view of fetus from the point of conception as a fully human. Okay, that's important. We're getting to the meat and potatoes. The Bible prohibits the taking of innocent human life in a sixth commandment. You shall not murder. Okay, here's where we get all muddy, and this is where, when does life begin? I understand. Okay, so basically you're telling me, sixth commandment, you shall not murder. So therefore, you're killing a human being. And what and some people think of conception as a start of life, and some people say a certain time is start of life. This is where we have a problem. In Exodus 20:22, the life of an unborn is protected by the same punishment for the injury and death of an adult. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so that she gives birth prematurely, live birth of a child, yet there is no injury, he shall surely be fined as a woman's husband may demand of him. And he shall pay, decide. But if there is any further injury, child or woman dies, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. And second, the biblical writers consistently attribute the same characteristics of a person outside the womb to the unborn in the womb. In one of the earliest books of the Bible, we read, Job 3:3, two lines of poetry. Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said a boy is conceived. All right, Jeremiah, we see that God knows the unborn in the same way he knows a person outside the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. So we're going on and on and on. So we go to the Supreme Court, and here's what started all this shit. Well, Donald Trump started the shit, tell you the truth, that he appointed a lot of conservatives, but we're not going to go into Trump. We're not talking about idiots right now. The U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts confirmed that the leaked draft of abortion decision is authentic. So somebody leaked it. Who leaked it? What justice leaked this? Interesting, huh? On Tuesday, Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed the authenticity of a leaked draft document written by Justice Samuel Alito, suggesting that the U.S. I'm reading it cold. Give me a break. Justice Samuel Alito suggesting that the U.S. Supreme Court will vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, the landmark case that made abortion legal nationwide. Roberts added that while it's legitimate, it is not yet a final decision, and directed the marshal of the court to launch an investigation into the leak. Politico was the first to report the leak, the document on Monday, which is dated February 10th. Here we go. Here's where people put the cart before the horse, the panic in the streets, the human beings, when they have time to think, they always think the worst. You're up in arms. Justice Roberts said this: it is not yet a final decision. That's what he said. But Politico decided to leak it anyway. And this is what you need to know. Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed the leaked document on Tuesday. In a document, Justice Alito says Roe was wrong from the start. The decision is not final until it's published, likely in the next 2 months, and justices can sometimes do change their votes, according to Politico. President Joe Biden said the stability of our law requires the Supreme Court doesn't overrule Roe v. Wade, and that he'll work to codify the right to abortion. I don't know. Now the Chief Justice ordered an investigation about the leakage of the document. The draft opinion suggests the court is poised to overturn the landmark Roe v. Wade. They do have the votes that legalize abortion nationwide. While confirming its authenticity, Chief Justice John Roberts said the leak draft doesn't represent the court's final decision. That's it. There are still, even if they go through it, and there are some states that will still, you still be able to get an abortion. California is one. People are saying, well, what about the poor people? Well, you know what? Poor people are on welfare. They save money. They can get abortion. I am pro-choice. I believe there's only certain things in this world that we have control over. One of them is our body. For instance, if we go to a doctor or whatever, we have choices. They can't force us to have that surgery. There are some people that won't have the surgery because of religion. It's our choice. They may tell you it's life and death, but it's still our choice. I'm thinking abortion may be in that category. Should be between a woman and her doctor. If you keep a woman from making her own choice with her own body, what other things are you keeping her? How about her diet? How about how she raises her child? How about how she drives a car? How about her choices in finance? How about her choices in men or women? How about her choices of lifestyle? How about her choices of just exercising? My argument is you people are thinking you're killing a life. Well, if you create a life, don't you have a right to kill it? You were not there during the intimacy of that act. Would you like to be there? Could you be there? Can you say to her, would you like to be in that room and maybe there's a counselor before we have sex? How about this? Let's have a sex counselor before anyone has sex. Because we are afraid that they may get pregnant, and we're afraid that they may get an abortion because they don't believe in religion. So how about every woman, before she has sex, she has to call a hotline and say, I want to have sex tonight. And then let's say there's a person on the other end of the hotline says, are you going to be drinking alcohol? And maybe you want to. And they said, no, it's not a good idea. It would not give you a good judgment. Are you going to be doing drugs? Well, you know, well, that's not a good idea. It would impair your judgment. What kind of sex are you going to have? Well, I like doggy. Not a good idea. Missionary is the only sex that you're going to have because that is sanctioned by the church. Are we want to go that far? Because you are. You don't know that woman, and you don't know that baby. You don't know how old that baby is or if it's even a baby. You're thinking somebody's killing something. I see. There's an old joke that a lot of fathers will say when their kids are acting up. I can take you out and make one just like you. I think we have gone too far. Way too far. I haven't heard this documentary. This documentary was suggested to me. Twitter is going crazy. Twitter, number one's trending is U.S. Supreme Court Justice. I read you a couple of the tweets by Politico. People are up in arms. There's already protesters walking the streets, and there hasn't even been a decision yet. Pro-choice protesters and pro-life protesters arguing on their sides, women against women. Men are staying back, hoping that there'll be a cat fight. Somebody's clothes get ripped off. Meow. Here's on Twitter, this is another woman who has an anti-abortion rally. I don't know if I can hear it, but here we go. It's none of your damn business what one person does with their body. Don't we have enough to tend to with the pandemic, crime, unemployment, recession? Don't we have enough? Don't you just want to just take care of your family? Who cares what your neighbors are doing as long as it doesn't affect you or hurt you? I say keep your nose out of other women's vaginas. And out of their choices. This is one more thing that you are taking away from a person. A right to choose what they want to do. Well, don't believe me. Here we go. This is according to the news. It doesn't tell me what news, ABC News. Byron Pitts.
A report that seems to show how the Supreme Court could eventually decide the fate of abortion rights in this country. Already barricades have gone up outside the court, and a large crowd has gathered. Politico obtained an apparent draft of a Supreme Court opinion that is marked as a, quote, first draft, and dated back in February. That seems to show the conservative majority of justices preparing to overturn Roe versus Wade. This draft has not been independently confirmed by ABC News, and the Supreme Court is not commenting yet. Terry Moran covers the Supreme Court for us, and Terry joins us now. Terry, what does all this mean?
Well, first, Byron, what we don't know, as you mentioned, we don't know if this draft is authentic. ABC News has not confirmed it. It looks to be, but we have not confirmed that. We also don't know, and this is important, where this comes in the process. Supreme Court justices circulate a lot of drafts. Sometimes votes can change, but the bottom line here is this apparent draft of an opinion in the case that could overturn Roe versus Wade does just that. Justice Samuel Alito, in this apparent draft, writing for what looks to be a five-vote majority of the Supreme Court, says bluntly, we hold that Roe must be overruled. Then he goes on to say Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. It is a full-on repudiation and overturning of Roe versus Wade. Once again, we don't know if this is the way the opinion is going to turn out, but this is a stunning breach of Supreme Court confidentiality, of secrecy of the traditions of the court, and one clearly designed to get a public reaction. It's a crisis for the court because the court's authority comes from the notion that those justices deliberate and come to a conclusion, and they don't play politics. They don't play public opinion. But if this apparent draft opinion holds, all of Roe versus Wade will go, and that means there will be no federal constitutional right for a woman to choose an abortion. That issue will go back to the states. One by one, we will have a divided country where in some places women can get an abortion, and in other places they'll be criminals. Byron?
Terry, thank you so much for putting this moment in context for us tonight. Terry, we'll have much more on this tomorrow morning on Good Morning America.
There you go. There you go. We're going to talk about this. But people love George. Before we leave, let's go back to George. Stephanopoulos. He's a good guy, right? My energy level is good. But, okay, George is gone. Here we go. Let's get to the meat and potato level. Here we go. This is an abortion documentary. I don't know. Maybe we'll find something about it. Let's learn together, shall we? Again, here's the number to call in, 319-527-6099, and here we go. In the beginning, I'm going to have to read it. You hear music, and then they'll start. Basically, they're talking about the year a child is conceived, and it says right here, 3 weeks. Okay, 4 weeks. 4 weeks, you're starting. Okay, hold on.
I want to share my life.
Hillary Clinton. In 4 weeks, we begin to see maybe, I don't know what this looks like. Is it a heart? That's 4 weeks. I'm seeing it right now. 6 weeks. We're beginning to see a head, an eye, an arm, stomach, 6 weeks. Seven weeks. We got two eyes. Looks like an alien. Damn. You can see a head, two eyes, nose, little hands. Starting to take shape. That's 7 weeks. 9 to 10 weeks, he's starting to get his shape. He looks like a baby now. 9 to 10 weeks. Nose, eyes, lips, skin. He looks like a baby now. Neck, he's developing. Looks like a baby. That's 9 to 10 weeks out. 18 weeks. There's a little kid with his umbilical cord. It's almost a full baby. And 18 weeks. His head is shaped, his mouth, eyes, nose, heart, legs, feet, his hands. You can see his hands. That's 18 weeks. 27 weeks. This baby has a little hair. He has ears. He's looking at his hand. That's 27 weeks. 27 weeks. So what is that, about 6 months? About 6 months out. I know. And then finally, 38 weeks. He's full grown. His hands are shaped. His eyes, nose. That's 38 weeks. That's 38 weeks. 38 weeks. Eyes, everything.
Abortion has been arguably the most polarizing, heated, and controversial civil rights issue since 1973, when abortion was legalized in the U.S. There is so much passion on either side of the topic, and seems to be no middle ground and virtually no humane conversation. So much anger and so much hate. In the midst of it all, we truly believe that love is the answer. Instead of pro-life or pro-choice, Is it possible for us to be pro-love? Is it possible for us to love both the mother and the baby? Maybe the answer isn't either or, but rather both. I have my personal conviction. You have yours. We're all so different, and that's okay. But where is God's heart at? Where is the truth and peace amidst all the chaos and lies? We want to go on a journey to find out the truth and to find out how we could actually help and make a difference instead of just adding more noise to an already deafening discussion.
Kind of problem with this documentary. I like it, but it's shown me graveyards. Why would I see graveyards of babies when you have an abortion? Who would have an abortion then have a funeral? I guess it's just more theatrical bullshit and giving you the visual of someone dying and then there's a graveyard. Okay, let's give it a shot because I really want to get cut through this fog. I really want to understand. I really do. Why should you care? Why should you care about that other person? You don't know the other person. Why should you care that other person is having a baby that you don't even know? You don't even know the circumstances of how they were conceived. Why should you care? I mean, you don't care about the homeless person. You walk across, they're fully grown, they're adults and everything. You walk right past them. You don't give them money or anything. In fact, you want them off your street. Would you care the same thing? Would you want to have her to have a baby if you had a future and knowing that that kid's going to be homeless? Because they don't have a mother who has enough sense to be a parent and to teach a child right from wrong? If you had a time machine and you know that Charles Manson's mother was giving birth to Charlie, would you kill that baby? Would you? Or how about Mrs. Hitler? Because there was rumors that Hitler was once a good kid and he loved his nanny who was Jewish, but how about Mrs. Hitler? If you knew that baby was going to become Hitler and kill millions of people and experiment on him with Dr. Mengele, would you abort that child? Knowing that he, as soon as Mrs. Hitler gave birth, and know what this monster is going to turn out to be, and you had the ability to kill that child with an abortion, would you do it? Would you want it? Let's go back to the documentary.
So what if you're watching this and you're thinking, should I keep my baby even though it's too hard? As a matter of fact, I was in that position. I was 19 when I got pregnant with Everly, and I remember just being so scared. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was actually in school, in college, and I was too scared to tell my family. I was too scared to tell my friends. It was just a lot for me to take in being so young. I remember those moments just being so terrified of just like what the future would look like, what my life was going to look like. Just so many things going through my head at that moment and just knowing how hard it was going to be, but ultimately in the end how worth it was going to be looking back now. I know for me personally, my choice was always to keep my baby, but I also know that for others, there are choices.
It's always hard if strength is still calm. At the end of your walk, you'll see the grace that he gives and gives and gives and gives.
In America, over 2,000 abortions happen every day.
Every day in America, 100 people die in car accidents. 1,300 people die from smoking. heart disease, the leading cause of death in the U.S., according to the CDC. But there's another, even more deadly killer than heart disease.
By definition, abortion is when a pregnancy is ended so that it doesn't result in the birth of a child.
This drone designed to save lives mysteriously disappeared. There's a tiny U.S. drone company that made a groundbreaking new drone, and it's taking the quadcopter market by storm. Big drone companies are trying their hardest to ban this drone in the U.S. Rather than buying a $1,000 drone from a well-known brand, this $99 alternative is making drones fun and exciting again. The drone uses extremely advanced flight control technology.
So as we've been filming this documentary, we've been asked by our friends, by family, by mentors, why are we making this? There's so much at risk. Why are we even making this? Why are we adding flame to an already crazy burning fire? And the answer is just, if one baby is saved from this, if one mom chooses to keep her baby from it, then it's all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
This documentary by no means is trying to illegalize abortion. After this documentary, you're still going to have the choice.
Yeah.
You're still going to have your choice. But I know that there's going to be one mom watching, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. We have no idea the ripple effects.
But just for you guys to know all the resources out there, and also for us as a church and just me and Cole even, just that how much more we need to be doing.
We want to go into this finding out what resources are available for women that you might not know about. Are there resources, you know, in your city? If
mm-hmm.
not, is there something that the church should be doing, that you watching should be doing? Maybe you aren't pregnant. Maybe you aren't the one facing the question of whether I'm going to have an abortion or not, but you're thinking, what more can I do? How can I better help? How can I better stand with these women and for these women? So we're going into this thinking, how can we help more? What more can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to find out.
Yeah. So what happens during an abortion?
In private practice, I performed just under 1,200 abortions, including first and second trimester abortions, up to 24 weeks of gestation.
So I feel like one of the most important questions that everybody asks is, when does life begin? And if we had a direct answer, then I feel like this wouldn't even be a conversation, because if we could all agree that life began at a certain point, then abortion should be allowed before that point and not allowed after. In your professional opinion, when would you say life begins?
It's such a simple question with such a complicated answer.
Mm-hmm.
A human egg is fertilized by a sperm, and that is a single-cell organism that has a unique genetic makeup. That is the first. So at fertilization, you have a living cell that has that unique genetic pattern. So on that basis, human life begins at fertilization.
Yeah.
But a lot happens.
Wow. That answers that question. Human life begins at fertilization. Now, when is that? How do we know? How we know when that egg is fertilized? I mean, I used to live on a beach, and I used to see it was those little fish that come on the sand, and they fertilize their eggs, and they run back. They were called grunion. And we caught those little fuckers before they got back into the ocean, and we fried them. I digress. Let's get back to this.
After that, it gets complicated. But I really do believe that a human life, that individual human being with that unique genetic signature starts at fertilization. People think of doctors as so smart. We're no different than anyone else. When you figure out here, not here, that killing a baby this big for money is wrong, it doesn't take you too long to figure out it doesn't matter if the baby is this big or this big or even this big. It's all the same.
I love what Dr. Levitino said, that whenever we start saying, like, at what size is it a human baby, it's like, well, what size is a human? You know, whenever you realize that a baby this big, and this big is a baby, it doesn't matter if it's this big or this big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if we're going based off of size, our baby in the womb right now, she said, was like, the tip of my finger, but we saw little arms and legs on our ultrasound.
And the baby was moving around.
The baby was moving.
Her lip. And she's resting, just chilling with her arm up right there.
Of course she is.
Dr. Kathy Altman and hear her story on this topic.
So I feel like a lot of people watching or listening might not know how abortions are performed, you know? I think you hear pro-choice and it sounds right because it's like, oh, well, the mother should be able to decide whether to keep or not keep. But they don't understand what not keep means.
Well, most people don't realize it, but any OBGYN has to learn how to do abortions in their residency program. You can opt out because of conscience, but I didn't because I was really very pro-abortion. I had had an abortion myself, and I didn't think any woman should have to bear a child she didn't want. In our training program, we learned how to do first trimester abortions, but I was so gung-ho that I went outside of the program and got one of the local abortionists to show me how to do D&E abortions, which are also known as dismemberment abortions, where you literally take the baby apart piece by piece to remove it from the uterus. In the first trimester, that involves putting some local anesthetic in the cervix, and after you have the opening large enough, you insert a little tube, and you go around just like a little vacuum cleaner and suck out the pregnancy, and the baby is sort of torn apart as it's going through the hole because it's bigger than the hole, and then the placenta goes through, and then you check to make sure there's nothing left, and that's the end. And then for second trimester, it's a little bit more involved. Oftentimes, you have to dilate the cervix ahead of time because if you try to mechanically dilate the cervix, it can lead to damage to the cervix. Then you just reach in with a heavy-duty clamp and grab whatever you can grab, an arm or a leg usually, and as you're pulling it through the cervix, the body's too big, so it's not going to come. And so with enough traction and twisting, the arm or the leg comes off. And you do that until you've got everything you can. And then you have to reach up and try to crush the bigger parts, so like the chest and eventually the head. And then you just bring them out in pieces. You can tell when you've crush the head because the white brains leak out.
We need abortion to save women's lives. Hear it all the time. For 9 years, I worked at a medical center where it's called the tertiary referral center. It's a hospital that is equipped with the doctors and the equipment to take care of high-risk pregnancies. We don't do this in every hospital because it's too expensive. So we have centers where this occurs all through the country. And where I worked was a tertiary referral center. And for 9 years, as a pro-life obstetrician gynecologist, I worked in a medical center like this. I saw it all. I mean, severe heart disease, cancers, out-of-control diabetes, preeclampsia. I mean, these are dangerous pregnancies. Pregnancy can be very dangerous. But there's a point to be made about this. We need abortion to save women's lives, really. The vast majority of times that a pregnancy becomes dangerous to a woman with many of these conditions, there are a few cases early in pregnancy, we can talk about those, but the vast, vast, vast number of these cases occur after 22 weeks when the baby's viable. I have determined, as a pro-life obstetrician gynecologist and almost 10 years of experience in a tertiary medical center, I have terminated, i.e. ended, hundreds of pregnancies to save women's lives. How many babies did I have to deliberately kill in the process? None. Not even one. It's called delivery. When the lady comes in, for instance, with that preeclampsia patient, 27 weeks pregnant, real case, her blood pressure is 220 over 160. And we've got to get her delivered now because the only way to cure preeclampsia is to end the pregnancy. We're going to deliver this baby by cesarean section because it would be fast I can do that within an hour. And we're going to take care of the both of them, and we're going to just have to leave it in God's hands. And we did exactly that. We stabilized her, delivered her, and she and the baby ultimately did great.
So I had no idea. I had no idea. That's what went on, first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. And I feel like it's so necessary for people to know.
Yeah.
Because I think that if this is what's going to happen, the media and news outlets and people can just downplay it.
Yeah. And even with, like, the little bit that I did know, just hearing it from him and hearing his stories and just the details of it was such a different experience just hearing him say that, you know?
And it opens up your eyes, you know? Like, you hear the word abortion, and I feel like it's become so normalized, and I'm glad that we can have conversations about it, but, like, well, where's the truth at?
Yeah.
Well, the truth is, you hear someone who's performed 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
You know, instead of someone telling you, you know, what they think it is, or, like, you hear all these different, I don't want to say lies, but you just hear all these different variations of what an abortion is, well, let's just go to the source.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, you go to the source, and it's like, okay, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a crazy thought. I would not be here today if my grandma did not choose life for my mom. As a matter of fact, her story is wild. I sat down with her to talk about it. You're about to hear it. But her story is so beautiful because it shows the generational impact of choosing, yes, I'm going to keep this baby.
Well, when my mother was around 18 years old, she found herself pregnant and with no family except a brother that would take her in and take care of her. And she delivered me and kept me for 4 months and really wanted to keep me. But times were very hard in 52, and she was a waitress, and I was sick, and trying to afford to take care of me and take me to the doctor. There wasn't a lot of help back then for any kind of supplements or anything, so she chose to give me up. But she first good choice was she chose to let me live. And so I was adopted into a wonderful family. When I was 16 years old, my mother that raised me died of a massive heart attack. And that really, it almost destroyed me. And so I ended up pregnant. And the young man that got me pregnant and his dad really wanted me to get an abortion. And really was set up to force me to have an abortion. And as far as I know, it was planned, and they were there to put me in the car and take me, and my daddy, he ran them out of the yard and made them get back in their car and wouldn't let me go with them. And so my daddy took care of me, and I had my beautiful little girl. So I was 17 when she was born, and we kind of grew up together. I was never sorry. I was never sorry. Even though I was pregnant without being married, I just was never sorry. And the minute you hold that baby and look at that baby, everything that you went through that was scary, it just goes away, you know? It goes away.
I'll forever be grateful for my granny's decision. If my grandma did not decide to keep my mom, not only would I not be here, but my kids wouldn't be here. And one day, my kids' kids, and my kids' kids' kids, and so on. Saying yes to keeping your baby affects so much more than you could ever imagine.
Well, as you can tell, the documentary is a pro-choice documentary. But it was important to hear, and people have to know, when you do get an abortion, what goes on? What does happen to a baby? Some people will say it's not a baby yet. Let's say fetus, and how they kill it. It's very important to know that. Maybe it goes back to the beginning, before we even get pregnant, about the choices that we make. And you do reap what you sow. I mean, nowadays it's so easy with Tinder and other apps, hookups and parties and stuff like that. But maybe we're we're in the middle. And maybe we should concentrate on the beginning, on the choices that you make before you become pregnant. The choices that, or the non-choices that you make, or you leave it up to God, or whatever you want to do, but God gave you the free will and the mind to think. Sex is a serious business, I know. We promote it as fantasy and fun, and we make light of it, and hook up and things, but we don't really think about when you're going to have sex that night that it's a life and death choice. So maybe we should concentrate on the beginning of making good choices. Stop abortion by protecting yourself from not getting pregnant in the first place. Because are we not paying too much attention to the beginning, but we're in the middle of making a choice if you're going to have it, and at the end, deciding what to do with it, and we're skipping the beginning about right choices and accountability of choices, and we're not talking about that enough. So maybe we don't have to get to the middle. Maybe we should start at the beginning. We'll continue on with the documentary.
It's so important to rally around these women in a time where they feel so vulnerable. In my granny's case, it was her dad who was able to chase off these men. And I'm thankful for my great-granddad, who I never even got to meet, because if he didn't chase them off, I wouldn't be here. So there's so many little pieces that we just need to rally around these women to remind them, even if it's just one person saying, hey, you can do this. Hey, I'm here with you. It's going to be okay. We found a ministry called Embrace Grace, and this is exactly what they do every single day. Amy Ford, the founder, is determined to help scared pregnant women be brave.
Yeah. In the church, the abortion rate is exactly the same inside the church as it is outside the church. There's no difference. So these women are sitting in our pews and scared, don't really know what to do. And even with my own story, I went to church every single week. I did it not cross my mind that I'm pregnant, I'm scared, I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll go to the church and ask for wisdom, guidance, prayer, support, something. Like, it's the last place you want to go to. So we started Embrace Grace as a pro-love movement where we want the church to be one of the first places a girl runs to instead of the last because of shame and guilt. We want the church to be like an oasis and a sanctuary for these women, that if they're scared and they don't really know what to do, then we want the church to be a safe place for them. And then also, you know, if they end up choosing abortion, we don't want them to, but if they do, we believe the church should be a safe place for them too, to go to as well, for healing and for healing support groups. But we started Embrace Grace, and it's for women with unexpected pregnancies to find hope, community, support. They meet other girls going through the same thing that they are. There are support groups all over the nation, so any church can just press play and have this digital, amazing curriculum. And then pregnancy centers, or even just word of mouth, they send these girls that are struggling with an unexpected pregnancy, and then they get to, they're not alone anymore. They feel heard, they feel loved, and they meet other girls going through the same thing that they are. They might all have super unique stories, but they all come together with this common bond of not expecting to be in the situation that they're in right now.
After a conversation with Amy, we were just so encouraged and blown away by all the resources available. In fact, you can actually click the link in the top of our description box down below, type in your zip code, and just get involved right away.
All sounds good. I know you pro-choicers out there saying, okay, well, here's something for you. Here's a woman at a conference. She's a pro-choicer. Let's give equal time. Here's what she has to say.
I just want to read you this poster that I have because I hear a lot of pro-lifers say that life begins at conception.
Mm-hmm.
So my poster reads, life begins when you understand living women matter more than potential babies.
What is it?
Yikes. wow. This is not a good argument. Let's give her a little bit more time. Maybe she's missing the point. Let's give her a little bit more time.
What is it?
What do you mean?
If it's a potential baby, what is inside of a woman?
It's a fetus.
Is it living?
How can it grow if it's not living?
Actually, that's like saying if an acorn is a tree.
When does a fetus become living?
That's actually a good question, but...
Oh, damn. She's going down in flames. She's going down in flames. People have left the airplane. They are jumping out. The airplane's on fire. Let's see if she can recover. Here we go.
That's actually a good question, but that line...
Yeah, of course, because you don't know it. Because it's living.
Oh.
It's living.
You're
fundamentally denying science to validate
you,
your...
You actively deny science, ma'am.
How am I denying... What science did I deny, Darby?
Okay, so let's look at some posters over here.
But
you don't have to be here.
I need you to tell me what science... You just made an accusation that I denied science. What science did I deny?
That it's a child inside of you. It is a clump of cells when...
I'm a clump of cells. What makes me different?
That you were born? You were born.
So you don't... What you're arguing is that anything that is not born is not valuable of life.
I did not say that.
It's subjective. So... When does a child or fetus or clump of cells, whatever you want to call it, when does this clump of cells or fetus become living?
When it can sustain its own life.
But when is the sustainability? When is sustainability?
21?
About like 30
weeks. The plane is now crashing and we're looking for the black box. Oh, my God, I picked the wrong person. Well, let's see if there's any survivors into this debate.
Born life.
Because, like, what? How do you sustain life? Like, my newborns aren't sustainable. You can't just have a newborn and they just, like, live on their own, right?
Right.
They're not sustainable. They need help and assistance to survive. So is a newborn not... Is a newborn not worthy of life? Is a newborn not worthy of life?
I do have one thing to say to you. How is it that when my mom was in college 30 years ago, she was protesting the exact same thing that me and these wonderful other women and men on this side have been protesting? How is it? Why? Why? Are we still protesting? Why are we still having to talk about this issue? It is a basic human right to have an abortion, to have a choice.
The reason we're still having the question is because some people don't want to accept the natural consequences of heterosexual sex and be inconvenienced by another human life and want to selfishly choose to end human life in order to have their whims met. That is why you're still arguing.
Good point. And that's what I said before about, let's go back to the beginning, about why you're not held accountable for having sex. Well, maybe she wasn't a good example. Let's try somebody else. She seems like a good example. Here we go. Let's try this.
Great questions, by the way. Great job.
So I came here to kind of hear your side. I mean, it was not a full, like, yay, I'm excited to hear someone try to take away my rights as a woman. But it was more like I wanted to hear what you had to say. And I agree with one thing I can name, which is, like, increasing parent, like, paternity leave or whatever. So, or maternity or whatever it is. And so one thing I do want to say to the audience is, if I came here with no knowledge on abortion, you would have convinced me because of all your fear tactics and all of your like, let's bring out the gore. Let's talk about, like, killing
babies. Oh, it's not gore, ma'am.
Oh, it was gory, though. So what I wanted to say, though, was I encourage everyone in this audience to actually realize, like, what it means to be, to have bodily autonomy, to be pro-choice, which is not pro-abortion. It's pro-choose. No, yeah, I'm getting that. It's pro-choosing the right to have an abortion if you feel that's necessary. So I want to ask the question, what makes you qualified to tell everyone here that abortion is so bad and it should be illegal when In reality, are you a scientist? Are you an OBGYN? Do you have any kind of degree that makes it so, like, we should be listening to you because you're, oh my gosh, you're this figure that is so correct on all these issues. Like, I want to hear what you have to say about, like, your background that makes this, yeah.
Well, it's actually simple because abortion is a black and white issue. You don't have to be an OBGYN. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a scientist to read biology books and to Google when human life begins and to know innately that all human life is equally valuable. And when you start to disregard certain human beings because they're inconvenient to you or you see them as your property to dispose of how you see fit, the disastrous results we've seen throughout human history.
You made a point, and I'm going to make a point too. And I don't mean to interrupt this. Are we asking a woman who's making a bad decision to have sex? Because if she's thinking about an abortion as a birth control, and some women do, but let's go on the other side too. Some women are using sex and having babies to go on welfare as a weapon too. But let's go back to the woman who is just having a good time, not using protection, blah, blah, blah. So she's making a bad decision. Now, can we count on the same woman who made a bad decision to have a good decision about keeping a baby? Or is it just her decision to make? So if she's not having a conscious good decision having sex, and she's not making a rational decision, and she's not being accountable for it, she has no intention of getting married, she has no intention of maybe even having a relationship, it's just a good time. Can we count on that same person to make the right decision when there's a life inside of her? Meaning that she makes a choice of having an abortion or not. Let's continue with this argument.
So as a counter to that, I wanted to say I noticed a lot of your sources you seem to Google. So that kind of goes into my topic of, like, what makes you qualified to talk about this if you Googled it.
I say
like,
everything
on the news
that
is accurate,
all of my sources are Googleable because you don't trust what I have to say. So I talk about, oh, that's Huffington Post. Go to Huffington Post. Google who has better sex. Married people who are religious. If you want to know the medical studies that I cited, go to PubMed.gov. They're there. If you want to know what a fetus is, go to Google because Dictionary.com pops right up and tells you a fetus is a human being and a member of our species. But it's actually very simple in the pro-life movement because what is abortion? What does it do? What does abortion do, ma'am?
It allows women to have the right to choose to move on with their lives and not have to have a baby.
What happens during an abortion?
A clump of cells is taken out of the woman's body.
Does a clump of cells have a beating heart?
Well, I'm not a scientist, so honestly, what I will say...
You can Google it!
Yeah, okay, so everything on the internet is correct? I'm confused as to... This
and
is sarcasm, by the way.
Ask any abortionist.
Okay.
Ask any abortionist if the fetus they dismembered or they sucked out of existence or they induced a heart attack had a beating heart. They will tell you, yes.
Okay, but did they have a conscience? Did they have a mental brain that was fully formed in
so
making decisions? Like,
so your position on abortion then is you're okay with abortion because of conscience. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm okay with abortion because women have the right to choose whether or not they want to have a baby.
But do you agree that abortion kills a human being?
I don't agree that there's any kind of murder
Does it end the life of a human being?
It ends the life of cells. It does not end the life of Yeah, okay, so you're a clump of cells that has been developed over time, but once you leave the vagina, then you're a conscious human.
So you're okay with abortion. So if I'm pregnant, I'm 9 months pregnant, my husband leaves me, I lose my job, and I say, I can't have this baby right now. You're okay at 9 months before the baby leaves my vagina, the abortionist goes in, induces a heart attack, and kills that baby. You have seen nothing
personally,
like that.
Personally, I cannot speak to every pro-choice person, but personally, 9 months is late enough. However, I still believe, like...
Why is abortion to you wrong at 9 months? Why are you personally against abortion at 9 months?
The fetus is about to come out of the vagina, and it's going to become an actual human. It's, like, almost fully formed. Almost.
Okay, first of all, we know a child is fully formed way before 9 months. Because have you ever seen a preborn, a child who's born premature at 25 weeks? They're not malformed, right?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they have, like, missing limbs. And
well, that's genetic.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, like, when I had the ultrasound of my child, my 4D ultrasound of my daughter, I wanted to get pictures of what she looked like at 25 weeks. She was fully formed inside of my womb. She didn't just, like, sudden, like, there's not a magical thing in the birth canal. You're like, oh, now there's a human being. That's location. Your humanity can't depend on your location. Birth canal doesn't change your, you don't magically become a human being because you pass through a woman's birth canal. Because guess what? Two of my kids never passed through my birth canal. I delivered C-section. Were they not human beings? Next question.
The question is, when does the fetus become a baby? Some people say in conception. Some people say when you hear a heartbeat. After that, it's murder. But does it still take away a right to choose? Now, the complicated story is that, let's say you have a neighbor and they're abusing the kids. Kids 5, kids 9, kids. And just because he has a kid, does he have the right to kill them? The kid misbehaves, the kid's out of control, kids maybe need medication, but does that parent have the right to kill their child? You're saying that's harsh. You're saying, okay, you're going off the grid. I am not going off the grid because it's the same thing. If you believe, and I just saw the video, and I'll put the video there. You can see the video for yourself. When a baby is forming, being formed at birth, and they go through the 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and you can actually see the child forming, and you're hearing the heartbeat, and you're giving permission for the woman to decide to abort the child. You hear a heartbeat. The heartbeat is there. But it's still early enough, maybe, to get an abortion. 9 months is too much. I mean, 9 months is murder. But if you're thinking 9 months is murder, when do you start thinking when the child develops and when does a heartbeat come in? And you know what? I want to Google that because I want to find out what weeks does a baby, an unborn baby, start getting a heartbeat. Let's go back to the documentary of the other two kids who are talking about how beautiful it is to have a baby. And I'll give you that answer when I come back.
What if you're pursuing your dreams, your career, you're going to school, and then an unexpected pregnancy happens? What do you do?
So we actually got to sit down with Shanice, who was faced with those exact same circumstances. And this is what she did.
I didn't really grow up in the church. I started, you know, having a relationship with God probably like 14, 15, but it became real for me. And then I ended up moving to, you know, Texas about 8 years ago. And so while I was here, you know, I started to feel like lonely in a lonely season. You know, there was a lot of things that happened since I had moved to Texas. You know, at one point I was in a homeless shelter for a few months. You know, I just started showing out, talking to all the guys, you know. One of my friends, she was in college. I was coming back from a thing that she had going on. And I just felt so sick. I'm the type of person that, like, I'm not going to wait it out. I need to know what's going on right then and there. So I went to the emergency room. I remember the doctor just came on out like it was just normal. He was like, oh, you're sick because you're pregnant. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And so I remember just, you know, crying. I don't even remember not crying. I just cried the whole time I was there. And then, you know, I just sat in the car, just literally sat in the car in tears. And, like, I just remember, sorry, I'm just so annoying. So I just remember, like, just, like, looking at my phone and just, like, looking up, you know, like abortions and stuff like that, like places where I should go and like how much it costs. And I just remember my eyes being so watery that I could, like, barely read, like, what it said, because I was just so sad. You know, what are people going to think? Like, what if my mom isn't going to think? I remember going to, like, a pregnancy center. I remember they had, like, an 11 box, and it was from Embrace Grace, and inside of it, it had, like, a onesie for my boy, and it also had, like, a necklace, like, little invitation to get a necklace, and it was, like, a pro-love necklace. It was so sweet. It was, like, a lot of love, and it really made me feel so special. You know, the day when I was in the car, and I felt hopeless, and when God said that I trust, you know, trust me, He had already had Embrace Grace lined up. He's so good. You know, they had, like, baby showers for us, and it was beautiful because it was gifts and all these things. Like, my son didn't need anything. God took care of me completely. God was just providing. He was answering the prayer that He said He was going to do that night in the car when I felt by myself. And He's been doing it ever since. Because, you know, one of the things that Embrace Grace, you know, say, they have a lot of things that they say, you know, like pro-love, help her be brave, stuff like that. But one thing that they say that I don't think people really grasp is you can have your baby and your dreams too. And I feel like that's one of those things that people hear and they don't really understand what that means. And so for me, I feel like I'm a prime example of that. Me choosing to have my baby, now I just launched my business. And so not only am I, you know, a single mom that chose life, but God is now transitioning me to being a boss chick. And I love that. So I launched my business in May. It's called Bomb Moms. And I love the name because it inspires me being a mom and the things that moms go through and stuff like that. And I make luxury handmade bath bombs. And so it's something so simple, giving people opportunity just to relax and feel valuable, feel taken care of, because that is what God wants us to feel. And that you really can, honestly, have your baby and your dreams too.
We absolutely loved our conversation with Shanice. Her personality is just so infectious. And we...
You notice the music in the background when they talk about... Yes, documentary is make you feel good. The violin and everything. We all know the truth. It's very hard to raise a baby, especially if you're a single mom. And it's easy to say, keep your baby, when you don't live into a poverty neighborhood and every corner you hear gunshots or whatever, and you look at the world in a pandemic and you think about bringing life into this hellhole. It's easy for the other people that you don't have a place to live and maybe you're kept out. Maybe you're homeless on the street and you're pregnant and maybe you don't want your baby to be born into that situation. There's a lot of stuff, but it goes back to the same thing. Murder, killing. I found the answer. I wanted to know what stage when a woman is pregnant, and I keep saying when a woman's pregnant, of course they're women, when you're pregnant, that you hear a heartbeat. I was surprised of the answer. The heart of the embryo starts to beat around 5 to 6 weeks. Of pregnancy. Also, it may be possible to see the first visible sign of an embryo known as the fetal pole at this stage. So we're talking 5 to 6 weeks. I'm guessing, and I should do more reporting, that a lot of people don't even know they're pregnant in 5 to 6 weeks. And if you're one of those, I didn't realize 8 weeks later, you missed your period. The first month. And what do they say? Take it again. See if you miss it the second month or whatever. You're already at 8 weeks. And if you're pregnant, The baby's heart starts at 5 to 6 weeks. There's a heartbeat. You have to decide whether that's a person or not. But all I know is, the little thing that I know is when your heart stops, that ends life. Your heart beats, you're living. I'm thinking that's what all medical professionals do when they go surgery or whatever, and they monitor your heart and your blood pressure and so on and so forth. But if your heart is not working, I think they legally call you dead. So all you people out there for abortion, you're saying, well, we could still abort the baby, and it already has a heartbeat. It's the same thing if you see an infant in your neighbor's yard being abused, and let's say the parent hit him over the head with a hammer and kills him. Does he have, or does that person have the right to perform a living abortion? Does he have the right to kill his children? Is there a law against that? I'm thinking this may apply the same way. If you think your neighbor does not have the right to kill their children, and we're talking, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever, then maybe they don't have the right to kill their children when their heart is beating. If you think that's beginning life. Me, I'm pro-choice. But, you know, being pro-choice, you have to understand, is pro-choice with responsibilities. That's, and I really believe there's a lot of ignorant women out there who don't even know when a heart beats, when there's a heartbeat, or when about an embryo. Don't even know what an embryo is. Maybe they think it's something like, hey, what's up, embryo? You know, hey, bro. I don't know if they even know what that is. And maybe education is the key. Maybe we give a lot of education to people. Maybe. But all those tax dollars that we pay in our taxes and everything, and when a woman becomes pregnant or they're even thinking about abortion, maybe when a woman walks into Planned Parenthood, maybe they're required to take classes. Maybe they're required to get education about what will happen to that baby and how, what they do. When is a heartbeat? Maybe education is a key that will cut down on a lot of abortion. Maybe it should be required that if you go in there and you go to Planned Parenthood, maybe Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood, by the way, just doesn't do abortions. You really got to get educated what Planned Parenthood does. Planned Parenthood does a lot of medical help for a lot of women. It's not just abortion. So before we should start shutting down clinics like Planned Parenthood, maybe you should find out exactly what kind of services Planned Parenthood does, because it does a lot of good, does a lot of health care for a lot of ladies who can't afford health care. Before we get all monolithic and absolute about Planned Parenthood is just abortion, that is not true. That is not true. They have done a lot of good work, and they have done a lot of work to help women with their medical conditions and health. You should get educated on that too. But I really, maybe that's what we should do. When somebody goes to a Planned Parenthood kind of thing, seeking abortion, maybe they should be required to take a 5-week class. I know there's a time restraint, their body's growing, the baby's getting bigger and bigger. Maybe it doesn't have to be. Maybe it's a weekend class. Maybe it's just a weekend class about what your body's going to go through, what they're going to do, how they're going to suck out the baby, how they're going to kill the baby, when are they killing the baby. Take a picture of the baby. If they're 3 months pregnant, maybe give them an ultrasound. Why isn't this happening? How come this is not happening, that they're required to take a weekend class regarding what is going to happen to them and their baby and their options? I don't know. I don't know why I think of these things, but they should be thought of. These are some of the questions. These are some of the questions that you ask. And here they are right here. When does a baby have a heartbeat during pregnancy? You guys know? This is just 2 to 3 weeks after conception. 2 to 3 weeks after conception, by this time, the heart is actually pumping blood with a steady rhythm. 2 to 3 weeks after conception, the heart is actually pumping blood with steady rhythm. As early as the 6 week of pregnancy, that's when the embryo is about 4 weeks old. As early as the 6 week of pregnancy, when the embryo is 4 weeks old. There's a vaginal ultrasound may detect a fetal heartbeat, and it as a regular flutter. That's what it shows. When does the fetus heart start to beat, you ask? Before about week 8 of pregnancy, a doctor may refer to the fetus as an embryo. The heart of the embryo starts to beat from around 5 to 6 weeks of pregnancy. Also, it may be possible to see the first visible sign of the embryo, known as the fetal pole. What happens to your baby? I'm sorry. What happens to your baby heart during pregnancy? Do you guys know? During those first weeks, the precursor blood vessels also begin to form in the embryo. By 6 weeks, your baby's heart, now beating 110 times a minute, has 4 hollow chambers, each with an entrance and an exit to allow blood to flow in and out of each chamber. In just 2 more weeks, the number will rise to 150, 170 beats a minute. That's 6 weeks. And the last question you may ask, can you hear an embryo's heartbeat at 5 weeks? It may be possible to hear the heartbeat of an embryo from the 5th week of pregnancy. That's 5 weeks. That means you missed your period 2 months. You're now thinking, I missed my last month period. Maybe it was just a typo. Now I didn't get my second. I'm going to take my test and everything. By the time you do that, it's now an embryo. And you may be able to hear the heartbeat. That's how fast this is. That's how fast it is. So what do we do? Maybe we, instead of starting at the middle, we should concentrate in the beginning to make the right choices. If you are horny and you want to get laid, and you don't care who it is, you're drinking your beer, you're on spring break, you're not making the right choices, I wouldn't even let you drive a car, let alone you giving life to somebody. You really got to think that once you have that sex, crossing your fingers may not help. Crossing your legs will. You have to be accountable that anybody who's on your stomach or behind you may be the father of your child forever. And if that person you don't want in your life or don't want to be the father of your baby, maybe you just don't do it. Maybe it takes 5 seconds to say, do you have a condom? And don't trust guys. Guys are morons. You got to be a responsible person to carry your own condoms or your own birth control. Because nobody should have that much power over your body than you. So maybe we should start doing it. And maybe when somebody goes to Planned Parenthood, they have to start going to classes for the weekend to find out everything about heartbeats and when it becomes an embryo and when it's a baby. And most importantly, show them films of how they abort a baby. And then let them go to other places or how they could sustain. I'm broke. I have no money. There's government assistance. Take them to the other class where you can see government assistance and how they would do it in insurance now, thanks to Joe Biden. Murder does not have to be that easy. Adoption is not easy either. But maybe being a mother is rewarding. Here's another person on pro-life. Let's hear the other side.
It's a member of our species. It has its own body. Your argument is essentially that it's a human. It's a member of our species. It has its own body, but because of where it's residing, it shouldn't. You should be able to do whatever you want. So essentially what you're doing is you're treating another human being like your property. Is that right?
No.
Because you're treating this as your property. Well, if I can do whatever I want, this baby's inside of me, it's inconvenient to me, I can dispose of it. I can kill it. Right? I can use this, twist off a limb, pull it out, and that's okay. That act of violence is okay because it's my property.
What I'm saying is that while the baby is inside of your body, while the baby is inside of your body, you have the right to decide what to do with it because it resides in your body, because it is a part of you, because it is not yet its own autonomous thing, because it is directly affecting your life.
What happens
because
when
most
a child
abortions
can survive outside the womb? I'm asking you, since you made the argument that it's a woman's body and she can do with what she wants, and it's her property, if the fetus can survive outside of the womb, is it moral to still abort it?
I think if the fetus can survive outside of the womb, there's no doctor that would abort it. They would obviously, like you said, choose
You've
that
never
option.
Met a late-term abortionist then. You can Google late-term abortion tonight, and you can find late-term abortionists who commit abortions. So Dr. Carhart is in Maryland. He goes between Germantown, Maryland, and Omaha, Nebraska. Every single week he goes back and forth. He operates 2 late-term abortion facilities, and he says you can abort for whatever reason, because it's your right, up until the moment of birth, and he commits late-term abortions every single week. The 2 abortionists in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the abortionists in the Denver Planned Parenthood, they all commit late-term abortions. Women do choose late-term abortion, and it's not for reason of there's a physical risk to the mother. Because if that's the case, you don't go to a dirty abortion facility. You go to the hospital, and you have your OBGYN treat you as 2 patients. When women who are visibly 9 months pregnant, visibly 8 months pregnant, go to an abortion facility, they're choosing abortion because they feel like they have to, because it's environment, they're living in poverty, they have something, you know, the child has some fetal abnormality. That's the reason they choose to abort their child. You don't end suffering, though, a potential suffering, by eliminating the sufferer. That's not how it works. Does that make sense?
So like you just said, those women would only choose to have a late-stage abortion because they feel like they have no other option.
No, I've actually met women. I was reading an article today of a woman in Canada who chose a 9-month abortion because she said she wanted to. Her boyfriend broke up with her, and she didn't want to have the baby.
And that's her right to choose.
Her right to choose what?
To not have the baby, her right to bodily autonomy.
So you believe that when
Thank
a
you.
Fetus
Thank
can
you
survive going. Outside the womb, it's okay to still abort it?
I think that's the female's choice.
You've answered my question. Thank you. Next question?
There you go. I don't know why pro-choice lifers, and I'm trying to pick intelligent people, and the people that you're listening to are young people, These 2 right here are young, too. And the conclusion of the documentary now.
You know, she's just going to go on to do such incredible things. She's already doing incredible things. She's the perfect example of being able to have your baby and your dreams, too. She's pursuing this bomb mom's career, and we just wanted to invest into that and sow into her because she's doing it right now.
Yeah.
One story that stood out in particular was the story of Dana. She was homeless, living out of her car, raising her kids literally out of her car. And she was just in a tough spot. Life was really hard. And we just feel like if she can do it, then anybody can do it. And we really want you guys to hear the story for yourself.
We had been sleeping in the car. You know, I had a Dodge Journey with the back. It had a back on it. So we had room to put bins of clothes in it. Well, you never know what things happen, you know. Just like I thought I would never be homeless because I work. And there's no money. So I just lost it all. The church who helped me with my pregnancy, they referred me to Embrace Grace. And I remember I went there and I was just so down. I mean, I'd never been this down in my life. And I started going to church and Embrace Grace, and I never met these women, never. You know, they weren't high school friends of mine. They were just people that was there, that God put there in that place at that time that I needed, you know. And I went there, and then the first day I never seen loved like that. People excited about you bringing in a baby, no matter what the circumstances was, you know, you don't have to be afraid, because that's what I was pretty much. I was just so afraid. And my biggest thing is looking at my 7-year-old son that I did not know, like,
if you get
how
attacked,
life would turn out. Me thinking that it could have been a possibility that he would not be here, that just breaks my heart, because he is just, he was supposed to be here. He is funny. He is just, like, it was the last addition. It was just everything I needed to complete myself, you know? I couldn't imagine life without him. And to think that I would have been so selfish to think, you know, oh, I don't want to have another baby. Why? Because I'm so afraid. I like to shop. I like to do this. I like to do other things. I don't want to be a single parent tied down with another kid, worrying about, you know, with the world, how they view me or how they judge me or, you know, look at me as, you know, but they don't know my story, you know. Like, my kids are my rock in my world, and I just thank God that he put people in my life and in place and at the right time.
After hearing Dana's story, Savannah and I both just felt led to give her a gift. We weren't expecting to do that, but we're just so encouraged and motivated by her story that we knew that we had to act on this. So I just want to encourage you guys that if you ever felt led to help anybody in any way, even if it's not financially, you can help with your time or anything, you should always act on that.
If you need help or just somebody to talk to, keep in mind that pregnancy centers are located all throughout the country. These facilities are completely free and are filled with people that are dedicated and ready to help you figure out your next steps. From an ultrasound all the way to the diapers or food your baby might need.
That's a documentary. If you want to know more about it, basically I played everything. It's called Abortion Documentary. You can go, you can see the visual. Again, I'm pro-life, pro-choice. I'm pro-choice, but I'm pro-life too. But remember, the choice that you make, can't save a life. Just choose wisely and be more responsible. That's our thing about abortion, and you heard both sides. Here's something out of the norm. I don't know if this has anything to do with it. It's called gender fluid. This is just weird. I'm going to play it a little bit, just a little bit, because I have no idea where it's going to go, but it's on the docket.
No, a spiritual person. I'm a devout militant atheist.
Make sure you check out the Living Waters podcast.
Would you consider yourself to be a religious person?
No.
A spiritual person?
I'm a devout militant atheist. There is no God.
No God at all?
No.
Nobody looking down saying this is right, this is wrong?
No. Your Bible is a collection of myths and untruths, and it's got murder and mayhem and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Why you doing me like that, bro?
We live in a very confused time. George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who proclaim it. And truth is considered hate speech to those who hate the truth.
You cut that out now, or you'll go home in an ambulance.
Yeah, that seems mildly inappropriate for a political discussion.
Do you think that women should have equal rights like that of men?
Of course they do.
I do.
Obviously.
But I think that they already do.
Why? They're women.
You know, I think women should run the world.
I mean, everyone should be treated fairly, no matter what.
You guys already have equal rights.
I think, yeah, well, we are from Slovenia. She's from Slovakia. And I think in Europe, it's equal.
I like that. So it's of course and it's obvious. Why is it of course and why is it obvious?
Well, they're human beings. We're all equal. And try to get my wife to say different.
How would you define a woman? What is a woman?
Opposite gender of us.
what is a man.
I don't think babies are their only purpose.
The difference is, yeah, of course, the body type.
Would you have a problem if I told you, John, that I identify as a woman?
No, I guess not.
No, go ahead. Doesn't make any difference to me.
What if I told you I identify as a black woman? Would you have a problem with that?
You need to change your skin, dude.
Now, why would I need to do that?
Well, because you're a white guy.
I mean, that's a far stretch, but I mean...
Now, why is that a far stretch? Would you have a problem if I told you that I identify as a woman?
No, I don't mind.
I mean, like, if you want to go around saying that, sure, go right ahead.
What if I told you that I identify as a 12-year-old black woman?
If you believe it, like, believe it.
I know. I don't know.
Am I a black woman?
If you believe it, yeah.
We're willing to destroy common sense in the name of not wanting to offend someone.
If you believe, I would support you. I don't know.
But I also identify as your child. Would you give me some money, Brad?
You're not. I mean, I didn't give birth to you.
No.
Why not?
I mean, you're really not my child.
Ah. So words have meaning.
Yes, they do.
Right?
Words definitely do have meaning.
I could identify as a truck, but it doesn't mean it's true. Right?
You're right.
Do you think it's important for words to have meaning?
I would say yes.
If I'm in prison for robbing a bank, but I identify as someone who did it, should I be released immediately? Listen, don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out. It seems like everyone is trying so hard to avoid the truth.
Describe what they look like. Male or female? I don't want to make that assumption. Skin color? I don't want to be racist. I don't know what they believe they are. All right. Whatever they believe. Thanks for wasting our time.
You start to have a little bit of a problem if I said I identify as a black woman. They can say, well, that seems a little strange.
Well, I mean, I guess you're just adding more and more and more to it.
And what's wrong with adding more and more to it? Why can't I just keep on going?
I don't know.
In the last few months, we have seen a transgender female. What's...
And that's our next episode. So basically, you got a preview of what's going on. That's our last. That's our next episode. We're talking about single moms, abortion. Here's a guy who made a career out of it. His name is Tom Likas, and he's a radio host. His job is to warn young men that women are out to trap them. Here's a little bit about how he is. He's very popular in L.A. He's off the air now, but millions of listeners listen to him. Here's his view on single mothers.
You don't take somebody with baggage. You don't have to. You would be amazed how many women take... Here's an email from a listener named Jennifer. Jennifer writes in and says, Dear Tom, I've been listening to your show for about 6 months, and I am in complete agreement with your viewpoint on single mothers. I'm writing to you because I don't know what I can say to my best friend, who just found out she is pregnant at 22. I don't know how to get her to get an abortion. The father is 24 and, of course, wants nothing to do with her. Since this is the result of a one-night stand, she argues that she can take care of it herself since she has a job and she's finished with college. But after listening to all the dumbass women who call your show, I know that is not the case. She is living with her parents, and she is of the mindset that they will help her. I've told her that everyone will stereotype her as a slut, and no man will ever want to date her. She, of course, thinks that I'm a complete bitch for saying it. By the way, men have no problem with women being sluts unless it's a matter of marrying them. No man wants to marry a slut. But we do love having sex with sluts. No, but the problem is when you are damaged goods. That's the problem. Years ago, when I lived in Phoenix and did a local radio show, there was a local car dealer who once a year, this is true, you know, Dean will remember because Dean lived in Scottsdale.
So now we didn't get to the abortion, so now you're a single mom. You did the right thing. Then you get idiots out there telling young men to beware of you because you're a single mom. So you did the right thing. You didn't do an abortion. The kid's beautiful and everything. You're a single mother. And now you have to go through some shit, too. And here's Tom Likas talking about single mothers.
There was a car dealer. Let's just say he was on the outskirts of Phoenix. He wasn't quite in Phoenix itself. This might give you a hint as to who it is. Every year, he used to do his own radio commercials, and he would advertise a big sale that we're having on cars that got stuck out in the annual hail storm. They were just slightly damaged by hail. And you can get great deals on those cars. And that's how I think of 22-year-old women who have babies. They might still look hot, but they've been damaged by the hailstorm. So, you know, of course, you get them at a good price. I mean, if you want hot chicks cheap, you have to get them in the slightly damaged department. And that's what these chicks are. They are damaged goods. Damaged goods are for poor guys. I mean, if you're me, you got money, power, and fame, you don't take slightly damaged goods. You don't take somebody with baggage. You don't have to. You would be amazed how many women take a run at me who have some kind of baggage or some kind of damage going on. I don't have to put up with that stuff. Find a poor guy. You kidding me? There's some guy delivering Papa John's in your neighborhood. That's your man. And the reason he's working at Papa John's because he knocked up his high school sweetheart and then now he's ready to marry you. I know it sounds ridiculous, but think about it. It's the 100% truth. We did a whole show about that. The kind of jobs guys take when they knocked up their girlfriend. And there's a whole line of jobs where you look the guy in the eye and you see that beaten like a dog look, hangdog look. You can tell the guy is only there. Like whatever dream he had has evaporated. It's been vaporized. Because he had 30 seconds of ejaculate with one particular individual. And now he's going to pay for it for the rest of his life. Hoping you give him $2 for your Brooklyn pizza. It's Domino's, isn't it? Yeah, it doesn't matter which pizza place. Where are the wealthy pizza delivery guys working? Yeah, exactly. By the way, speaking of which, did you see that story about the fast food industry? There's apparently going to be a commercial on the Super Bowl. I forget what they're advertising. But I guess it's Kevin Federline who realized how far he's sunk because he's working at a burger place. And now the Fast Food Restaurant Association is upset. They want this commercial pulled. Like, imagine implying that that's as low as you could go for a job. Guess what? That's pretty goddamn low. The Roto Rooter man's got a disgusting job, and at least he gets $30 an hour. Imagine implying that a job flipping burgers is about as low as you could drop. Amazing. So anyway, dear, the letter writer is absolutely right. Her friend is damaged goods. If she has this baby, she will be damaged goods. That's how guys will see her. Her email continues. She says she had plans to go to London. How do you like this? Her friend had plans to go to London and get her master's degree. Now she'll be stuck in Ohio working at her uncle's light factory the rest of her life. We're both educated, attractive girls, and she deserves better. She just can't fathom that her best friend is only trying to look out for her. Tom, pregnancy has made her insane. I wish I could lock her in a padded cell in a psychiatric ward and make her listen to your show for weeks to get a real education. If you read this on the air, I'm going to record it and play it to her with all the comments people will make when they call in so that they can see what her life is going to be like if she doesn't get an abortion. Signed, Jennifer. Jennifer, I just want to say I completely agree with you. Somebody who got pregnant at 22 as a result of a one-night stand should have an abortion. Get the master's degree. That doesn't mean don't ever have a baby or don't ever get married. Get the master's degree. Get the career going. Get your life in order. Have babies when you're ready. don't be having babies now because you are going to live a life of poverty. You're going to be married to the Papa John's delivery guy. That's going to be your husband. You're going to hate it. Oh, I can do it on my own. I can make it on my own. Who needs a man? Yeah, well, watch when you find out how much it costs to raise a kid. Watch when you find out how much you have to pay for an apartment with a larger square footage so you can fit a nursery or a crib or whatever. When you find out the cost of feeding, clothing, educating, and insuring a child. We are talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars for the life of that kid. Much more money than you've ever seen in your entire life. Get the abortion, you will step up your life dramatically. I'm not the guy, I'm not the one-night stand, so I don't have to pull a Hail Mary on you, darling. All I'm going to tell you is this. If you have that baby, every guy you try to date is going to see you as damaged goods. You're going to date guys of lesser education, lesser salaries, and if you got a master's degree, which it doesn't sound like you're going to bother to get now, you could probably end up making more than the loser you'll be forced to marry if you insist on getting married. It's pathetic. So I do think the hormones are driving you crazy, and what you really should do is get that abortion. I mean, am I all that wrong?
And there you go. That's the other side of listening to an insane man on a microphone with a radio show. Not so different now. Before we leave, we only got 10 minutes or 6 minutes. I like it when guys fight back or when guys out someone. I like it. I like it. I can't help it, but I like it. Well, apparently, on Valentine's Day, A-Rod... You know A-Rod from the Yankees. He outed Jennifer Lopez. I don't know if you've seen the story. I haven't seen the story the first time I've seen it. Here it is. I'll read it. We only have that much time. But I want to thank you for listening to Brian Hammer Jackson. And again, we're on usually at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. But sometimes I get into my own projects. And if you really want to know when the show is on, because this is not our typical hour when our show comes on, go to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. Hit the follow button and you'll get a little email about the topic of the show and when I come on. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. And we're also live on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Radio, I guess, iTunes. I will be posting some of our shows, and I might be doing this show, just in case you missed it, on our SoundCloud. And if you want to contact me, I'm on Facebook with Brian Hammer Jackson. You'll see the little box underneath that says Hammer House. That's me, because there's a couple other pages that I'm not on. Twitter, I'm there too, at Hammer, A-O-L. That's me. That's me. That's it. At Hammer AOD. I'm sorry. At Hammer AOD. That's me. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Brian Hammer Jackson. And if you ever want to be on the show to be interviewed, you can contact me on those too. Come on the show and I do a great interview. Again, millions and millions of listeners. I've been on the air for 10 years and I have interviewed celebrities as well as independent artists. And you can keep that interview for the rest of your life. It gives you some kind of credentials that you actually been on a radio show. And not one of those stupid other radio shows. This is a real radio show. All right, let's get back to outing people. This is according to A-Rod. I'll do it fast because our time is going away. Many of us think we know everything there is about Jennifer Lopez and her life. What we are told... What if we are told there are some things J-Lo has been able to keep away from the rest of the world? Here we go. Jennifer Lopez has almost been married 4 times throughout her life. It's not so bad. When we think of Jennifer Lopez, there's a good chance some of her many hits or acting roles come to mind. However, there's another side to her. Some of her high-profile relationships, J-Lo has been linked to some of the biggest names in the business. So what? such as Puff Daddy, Ben Affleck. So what? It seems Jen is no stranger to walking down the aisle. Who cares? Who cares? So far I'm on her side. That's right, she's been married 3 times. Who cares? And currently has another ring on her finger. J-Lo's first marriage to, I can't even pronounce it, Johnny Noah, only lasted for a year. 3 years later, she walked down the aisle with Chris Judd before they separated. Then just 1 year later, she split with them. Jennifer remarried Mark Anthony. Their marriage lasted the longest with a record of 10 years. 10 years, I did not know that. Her first husband, old Johnny Noah, N-O-A, has been sued by J-Lo more than once. J-Lo continued to rise through the ranks after her first divorce from Noah. Sadly, it seems someone wanted a look into some of her wealth. Yay! It's about time some men get some of the action. I mean, they go through the marriage. I'm not anti-woman. I'm more men because we get the shaft, literally. Well, because we give them the shaft, that's the problem. Read between the lines. You know what I'm talking about. People magazine reported old Johnny planned to release a tell-all memoir in 2006 that took a deep dive into their relationship with Jen. Apparently, each chapter of the book was named after one of her movies. Okay. Associated Press later reported J-Lo sued her former lover for $545,000. That wasn't all. Old Johnny had supposedly signed a conjunction that prevented him from talking about his marriage or how he was allegedly fired from Jennifer's restaurant in 2009. The pair were back in court. J-Lo sued him for $10 million after he threatened to release their private honeymoon tape. I will watch that. Wow. But who tapes it? See, you can't tape without consent, so J-Lo's a freak. Some of her videos is hot. She's a businesswoman. She's been married. Some women are in love with being married. So what? Jennifer could have so many relationships because Jennifer Lopez hates being single. Several people want to know everything about J-Lo's love life. Perhaps it's no wonder she has often been quizzed about the speed she moves on from one relationship to another. It turns out Jennifer is more than happy to dish the dirt, especially after an interview with Today in 2014. Here, Jen confesses she is scared to be alone. So what? She even added she will often fall for the first person to give her a little comfort. Jennifer backed this up with another interview on U.S. Weekly when she confesses she has no shame, admitting she would rather be in a relationship than have to face the world alone. Chris Judd's dad accuses Jennifer Lopez of cheating on his son. The future of Jiggly almost broke Jennifer Lopez's spirit. These are highlights, and we're almost done, so I can't. I'll read it tomorrow, more about Jennifer. I'm thinking I'm on Team Jennifer. You go, girl. You go, girl, and forget about those little man bitches. I like your style. You do great. Screw A-Rod.
60 seconds.
Get a Southern boy and set up a Yankee. How's that? You go, Jennifer Lopez. I'm on Team J-Lo. All right, everybody, that's the show. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and we'll be on the air tomorrow at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If I'm not, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson, hit the follow button, and you will realize when I'm on. It's a great show. I got some great interviews coming up. I'll talk to you another night. Bye, everybody. See you tomorrow. Oh, I forgot to say, there's a quote I just found out. I'll say it really quick because I'm still on here. I got 30 seconds. It's a beautiful quote. It says, for evil to triumph, all good men must do nothing.
10 seconds.
For evil to triumph, all good men must not do anything or do nothing. Think about it. See you tomorrow. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson, and I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Ciao.